I let you plan one show and it's a business show.
I feel like I've written the last four shows.
Sure. They're all business shows.
That was your thing. We're a business.
It's true.
Trust me, I'd love to just talk about board games and play tests. And you're like, that's not interesting to the audience.
That is not. What? Who are you quoting?
You.
In what world?
In the world where you're like, oh, we can't do thing A, B. We can't play Succession. We can't play survival horror Succession and talk about it in the show because we've done that before. It's not interesting anymore.
I did say something similar to that. But hey, you got Tuckman's theory.
I did give you the chance the other night when we were planning out the first part of the show to be like, hey, this isn't a good idea. Let's do something different. We're not talking about any of that.
Why not?
So my trick ear, rewind the tape.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where rules aren't obvious. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason. It was one of the notes that I took from our play session with I'm So Bad's game, Misplay Mountain, where he said, obviously it was clear to me.
It's that to me part that really gets you in the end.
He had written the rules for his game that he was playtesting with us on playingcards.io, but we weren't sure what things meant. But to him, it was super obvious. And
they were obviously open to interpretation.
Oh, there you go.
Do you remember the first show that I pitched you for this week? I said we could do a show about writing a rule book. And you're
oh,
like,
you did.
No,
yeah. Yeah. We're not. Well, why would we do that now?
We're going to have to start writing rules in a way that they're immediately clear, because there will come a time when we don't sit down with the person who made the game and play the game.
Yeah. We're just not close to that yet. That is definitely an episode in the future, but not yet.
Then where are we?
I think we are where I wish we were 6 months ago. That's where we are. I wish that the things we were doing right now, we were doing 6 months ago. Because we are currently, I feel like everybody's excited about a different game at the moment, and everybody's working on their own version of that. Peter is working on 2 weeks Notice, which is a Succession-based game. You are thinking about your survival horror game, Succession-based game. I am working on a game that was just inspired by all of that. My own version of I'm So Bad's Misplay Mountain. And Ryan has pitched a really comprehensive game called Animal Kingdom that people are thinking is really interesting, and we could maybe get it up digitally so we can play test it. There is so much happening. I just wish we were here 6 months ago, because we have this deadline, right? We said end of the year, we're going to say, this is the game, season two, we're building this game.
An arbitrary deadline, to be very clear, right? Like, if we wanted to push it back, we could. Now, we have reasons that we don't want to do that, right? We'd like to have a clean cut into the mythical season two.
Sure. But I mean, your reasons have to make sense, right? We don't want to have the wrong reasons, right? But are we in panic mode right now? Is this panic mode?
I'm not panicking.
Time is running out.
But I understand the desire to meet the goal that we set for ourselves, because it's going to set up for the other goals that we've written for ourselves, or the other goals that we're trying to work towards in the new year. But I think it wouldn't be fair to go into panic mode just because we've taken a detour. That's kind of the basis of the show, right? Like, we're trying to do this thing that we've never done before, build a game, build a company, involve more people than I thought were going to buy into it, sorts of things. And there are going to be detours along the way, because we have to figure out what will the path forward be to meet the goals that we're trying to do while navigating the other things that we need to learn how to do. We need to learn how to build a game. We need to learn how to prototype the game. We need to learn how to write the rule book for the game. There are so many things along the way, and we don't have the roadmap or the sequence for how do we get from blank slate room full of people who want to work together on this idea, on this concept, on the Misplay project, to the product that we want to crowdsource eventually.
So again, explain to me how we're not in panic mode. You're telling me that there's even more things that we need to do that we don't know how to do in a month. Panic mode.
I think it becomes a question of, and this is something I think you're going to talk about later based on what I'm reading in the show doc, where you're talking about how do we guide? How do we build the path that we want the group to follow?
Tuckman.
Maybe. But I think building the path is different than choosing the game. I think it is very realistic to look at the options that we have available to us and the work that gets done in the next month. I think the reason you feel panic mode is the thought that we do have to make the decision. I think making the decision of what the game is going to be is a frightening decision to make because there are so many interesting things happening right now. And to say this is the one that we're going to do requires a level of commitment to it that I don't know if we're ready to make, right?
Yeah.
So in addition to the challenges of deciding a game, because we as a team have discussed that it probably makes the most sense to choose a game that we've had a chance to play some version of, there are still a lot of ideas that are being explored and that individuals on the team feel passionate about. I think the question comes down to what will it take to make the decision and how is the group going to make the decision? Because I don't want it to just be my personal decision that decides what game it is. I know
it won't be.
Thanks. I haven't filled out the spreadsheet, but it won't be yours either. Cause that's not
sure.
That's not what we want. We want it to be a group driven decision. And so I think it makes sense to study how the group develops and how we want the group to work and ultimately how we want the group to make decisions together in order to meet our goal of deciding on what the game will be.
Before we start, before we get to Mark Katz's 5 stages of group development, this week's episode is brought to you by Board Game Casual. Board Game Casual is a YouTube channel welcoming people into the board game hobby with video reviews, recommendations, unboxings, tips for accessorizing on a budget, and more. The holiday season is upon us. Mark celebrates Hanukkah, so you have to buy mate gifts. In their latest upload, Board Game Casual suggests a handful of games you could give as a gift to Mark or even a non-board gamer in your life. Give Board Game Casual a view at Board Game Casual on YouTube or at Board Game Casual channel. What are we working on?
Not the Mark Katz process of group formation.
This is Tuckman's group theory. I'm poking fun at Mark a little bit because he wasn't the business guy when this podcast started. And now he's putting together shows that are very business oriented.
They're systems oriented.
Systems. I forgot. I'm not even using the right words. That's how not business I am. System oriented.
Jason's poking fun, but very briefly, I'm not an expert on Tuckman's group theory.
I don't believe that's true.
I'm definitely not. I think the last time I heard about it or thought about it before we started writing this show was when I was like 22. But basically, it's a theory of how groups go through developmental stages. There's 5 in Tuckman's group theory. They are forming, storming, norming, performing, and adjourning. And the ultimate goal of kind of the discussion that I read of his theory is you want your group to work in the performing stage for as long as possible. It's the most efficient. It's the most productive. It's, I guess I would paraphrase and posit that it's the most optimized group stage to be working in within his context. It got me thinking, we left 2 meetings ago and Jason said, everyone go home and work on Succession. And then we came to our next meeting and
I'd say one of us did.
I think Peters is a close heir to what we talked about for Succession.
And even on our theme episode, we said, you know, the corporate environment could be a really good theme. And that's what Peters is for Succession.
But then everyone else went and worked on different things. And so there's a little bit of a disconnect, right? There was, here's kind of the guideline that Jason laid down of this is what we're going to work on this week. And then we see the output. And that's not to throw shade at anybody on the team, I think it's indicative of where we are in terms of the way that we develop and work as a group. If I were guessing where I would put the misplay in terms of group formation, I bet we're more in the forming phase. We're relatively new to working with each other. The context of meetings has really changed. I think that's really important to note. And so we've been working together for about 3 months, but the context of meetings has changed in a way where we're more actively working on games regularly. We're bringing things to playtest. We're bringing different ideas. We're debriefing about playtests. We're talking about games. We're bringing ideas and sharing information back and forth in a way that is targeted kind of at one topic at a time. But we've only been doing that for about 2 weeks in terms of the number of meetings that we've had. And so we're in this early stage of developing, how is the group going to work together? How are we going to work towards common things when eventually we do need to choose and work on one thing together? Or maybe we don't, and that's a different question. I go back to you saying, I wish we were here 6 months ago. What was your reaction? How did you feel when everybody came with all of these really exciting, interesting ideas that they're passionate about, they've put time into, but it wasn't the homework assignment? Like, in your mind, in your sense of vision for where we're trying to go, what did that signal to you?
I should add that some people didn't do the homework either.
I said on the show too, I said on the last show that it is unlikely that I was going to do my game.
I know. And my game wasn't the homework. I created two other games. So what did that signal to me? I told you that even though it wasn't what we thought it was going to be, I was happy. Mike was sending me pictures. Ryan was sending me emails. Peter was talking about setting up playtest. I'm So Bad got really excited about a game. And the game that he pitched sparked an idea in me. And I went and created something, you know, completely different than what I thought I was going to do. So what does that tell me from a business standpoint, a system standpoint? It tells me that we are not locked in on the idea of succession, that there's still a lot of other outstanding ideas that they want to explore.
See, this is like the behavior side of me and the non-business person.
Systems.
I mean, it's in my brain, I can't unsee it. Like, it's a behavior thing because people spend their time on the things that they are motivated to work on. And so for me, it was a tell of like, while succession was a really cool idea and I'd still love to spend a little bit of time while I have a little bit of Thanksgiving reprieve to work on the survival horror version of succession, it's also clear to me that even by the spreadsheet metric, there's a qualitative piece that is more powerful in pointing in the direction that we would go for me than the spreadsheet data, because this is where people are spending their time.
Yeah. And we have to remember, everybody's volunteering their time. Nobody's getting paid. You and I are only losing money at this point.
Hurts.
So I'm okay with that, as long as nobody is storming. See what I did there? I brought you back to Tuckman's.
I see you.
Because I did expect, and I wonder if anyone was frustrated in that, right? So you're asking me how I felt about that, which implies that I might have some feelings about it. So it's possible somebody was kind of frustrated or upset that we didn't do exactly what we said we were going to do. Nobody verbalized that, though.
I would venture a guess that that would point us back towards, if we're staying in Tuckman land, that we're still more in the forming phases. I think since we're in this forming phase, because we haven't talked about how we as a group are going to make decisions, we haven't talked about the norms and expectations that we as a group will share when we're in meetings or when we're out, because it's part of that voluntary piece, right? There isn't, we're the storytellers on some level, and we're kind of, I think on some level, a little bit of the driving force behind what's happening, but we are not the sole proprietors and we're not the sole decision makers. And so since we haven't taken the time in a meeting to really talk about group decision making and norms and culture and expectation setting.
You keep saying it. Now you're moving us into norming.
I mean,
Third step.
I think it would be wise for us to have a meeting with the group where we talk about what we want the experience of being with the group to be like, to alleviate those frustrating things or to get ahead of them, or to set how we're going to resolve disagreements about what game we're going to work on, or whether mechanic A or mechanic B is a better fit for the game.
If we weren't in panic mode, I totally agree with you.
But see, I think this is why you can't be in panic mode about it. I think we could theoretically take half of the next meeting to do some group discussion about how our collaborative process should be and what we want the group experience to be like for everyone else participating, and how we're going to make decisions collectively beyond putting numbers in a spreadsheet. Because I think it shows already that you can't just be like, okay, everybody likes Succession the most, that's the game. And so it begs the question, how are we as a group going to make the selection, have the meeting, have the discussion about how we're going to do those things, and then go back to the game work and make a decision about what game we're going to design.
It's like I always say, what would Tuckman do?
I don't know that I want to answer that question, because a lot of the theory, I'm not so in love with the idea of you only need to be in performing. And I think there's a way to organize and create a group that's more based in the relationship building rather than being fixated on a specific product outcome. And my impression of Tuckman is it's more about getting the team to a position where they deliver on their deliverables. We want to deliver on our deliverables of the game. See how much business I can talk?
I wanted to interject several times while you were speaking there and just tell you, I love how serious you take every time I say Tuckman. I'm just trying to drop a joke. Like, I'm just trying to squeeze it in. And you're like responding to me like super professionally. You're an HR business analyst.
Can we be all done, Tuckman?
I don't think so. I think Tuckman's here to stay.
No, Tuckman's all done after this.
Oh, no, no,
Tuckman's
no, no.
Fired.
This is not the last time our audience has heard of Tuckman. I got a feeling Tuckman's going to be tucking his way into some of our shows in the future.
I think we need to tuck it into the closet and not talk about it after, because there are better ways to develop a group than this model.
Why didn't you develop that one or show me that one?
Because I can't Google how to build, like, I don't know. It's different.
I love Tuckman.
I'm not going to Google how to build relationship with your group of friends in a way that you can make a board game that then you can sell to people.
Forming, storming, norming, performing.
Don't forget adjourning.
I don't want to adjourn. It doesn't have the same alliteration either.
The mission is not accomplished yet.
Tuckman's?
Adjourning.
Yes.
Adjourning is when the project is over.
Sure. I will say I have really liked your statement that meetings have changed. It's a good observation. And I think it's good. I think they should always be evolving in some way.
Not going to lie. I am pleasantly surprised, and I'll say impressed, that the buy-in that we weren't seeing 6 months ago is something that has come into the forefront. I was really skeptical about it, and I'm pleasantly surprised and thrilled to be working in the group setting, because from day one, that was always an important piece of this project to me. Was I didn't want to sit alone in a room and design a board game by myself. That's not me. I'm very happy to sit in Discord and work with people on building a game. That's much more compelling to me.
Of course. And, you know, I said, I wish we were here 6 months ago. My wife keeps telling me, you should have made Supermarket Game. I would love to be in a position where I was talking about Supermarket Game and then have, you know, these five other people who are, you know, giving me feedback and suggestions.
I would have been okay working on Supermarket Game if you repitch it and we bring it up in a way that has a little more spice and probably a little more complexity than our early games did. But I think those were still good starting points, right? Like, on some level, it was the beginning of creating the way that we talk about games, at least for you and I, because I feel like we have more to learn than the folks that we're working with, especially in the level of detail that, like, Peter works in when he's working on a game, or what I'm So Bad does in bursts. And I think my takeaway from our most recent meeting was you can start to see the way that the group is forming a little bit, with I'm So Bad being like, oh, it was really cool that you all wanted to sit down and play my game. And I think he specifically said that he was grateful for that opportunity being there for him.
He did. But I mean, my reply back was, I was grateful he was there.
And that's, but I think, again, same thing, right? It's, this is going towards the way that this group forms and builds. I think it has this more, dare I say, growth mindset characteristic to it. That's kind of the floor of what we're doing. Like, it's a friends thing. It's a we're working together thing, but we're trying to serve as a collaborative body. And I think that starts from the way that we make decisions, because you said from the beginning, like, it's not just going to be you or not just going to be us making the decisions. And so the foundation is already in collaboration, and you do this so well in your classroom. We have this foundation of, it is going to be a collaborative process. It is going to be a process in which we learn. And that was something that Peter really pointed out, is whichever seat you're sitting in, whether you're a spectator, whether you are the designer, whether you're the playtester, whether you're giving feedback, whether you're receiving feedback, there's learning and information that is going to contribute later on to whatever successes and problems that we have to solve on the way. Ding, your turn.
I was going to say for me, but I actually want to start with for Scott. Scott has been somebody who is, I feel like he's kind of the puppet master, kind of behind the scenes, keeping us all going and moving in the right direction, which is something I feel like I kind of dropped the ball on a little bit, learning how to keep us moving towards that goal. So I've been trying to figure out how to, I don't want to say lead, because I feel like we're all kind of leading in different ways and with different activities and tasks, but, and I know I was the one who kind of got this started, right? I think we're here because of like that initial push and drive from me. And when I say here, I just mean doing this. I'm not taking credit for anything. And so people have always kind of looked to me to find out what's next. And I'm still trying to juggle my life, my job, and the misplay at the same time. That's been my piece that I've been working on.
I think it's fair to say that you're the inception, the initial impulse to the project, right?
Right.
Because we discontinued the old show, took a break, and then you're like, well, I still really like podcasting, and so we should do a new one.
Is that my voice?
No.
Okay.
I don't have the dry like delivery in your humor though, so I have to go for something else.
Okay. But, appreciate the honesty.
But it was you coming to say, let's relaunch the podcast, but let's do it with build a game, build a company. And so I think it's fair to say we're sitting in front of the mics because of you. A lot of the work that the group is doing is happening because you set the stage for it to happen. You are the vision person, right? You are the vision. You're the vision. You're like the strategic planning. You're the long-term vision kind of person. You're a project manager. And so I think it's how you approach your classroom, whether you think so or not.
I'll take it.
Okay, Mr. Visionary.
I don't...
Mr. Project Manager. We'll go with that. What's next?
Panic?
At the disco?
I'm still panicked. Panicked on multiple levels. You know, you talked about it earlier that, you know, we can still meet this goal. And I had said to you, do we need to change the goal? I know we don't want to. We want to hit our time goal. We want to be in a position where we're creating something that we're excited about, proud of. But what if we're not? What if we can't? Panic. Then I think we would have to talk about giving ourselves another month or two, but we're not there yet, right? I don't think you haven't hit the panic button, right? It's just me over here with my hand over it. You're not. You don't think I should push it.
Is your panic button is like pushing the goal, is like pushing the decision further away, right?
That would be the result.
I'm not there yet. Talk to me in 2 weeks.
I will.
But I think that might be the line where I'm like, okay, and not panicking, but deciding, do we need to move the goal? I think this is the first time I've ever heard you say that, like, oh, what if this doesn't work out? Because I've asked that question on the show before, and I was the skeptic, and I was like, okay, like, I see what we're trying to do. I kind of understand the vision. I don't see the short term, and I don't see the inputs happening to get the output we want. And you're just like, listen, of course, of course we're going to get there. So I'm sitting back and thinking about this moment of you kind of saying that you have a little bit of doubt about the project. Is it doubt about the project or doubt about meeting the goal? Because like, I think the worst case is you delay by a month and open season two with a really strong, here's how we're going to get season two. We're choosing the game. And then for the rest of the season, we're going to talk about building the game.
I didn't want to interrupt you because you made me laugh. But yeah, it was about meeting the time deadline, not whether or not we're going to achieve the goal. I'm 100% confident we're going to build a game and launch a game.
There he is. So then I don't think there's any reason to panic. If you have that level of confidence, I don't think you hit the panic button. I think you might have to revise, but revision is part of the process. And revision of a goal timeline of a month is small in terms of the scope of what we're trying to accomplish.
So on the next episode, we'll be talking about where we're at. We'll be talking about the work that we are doing with the games we're currently testing. I have another test set up with Peter for 2 weeks' notice. I'm So Bad wants to continue to make modifications to his game. He's got a real life playtest group going, and we are putting together some of the online components for Animal Kingdom. So what's next is, well, we'll let you know. I mean, we don't have like, in the past we've had like segments kind of planned out, right? And we knew next show we're going to talk about this, and then maybe next show will be this. I think right now it's like, we're all working really hard and we're going to see what comes from that in the next 2 weeks.
You never know when a trick-taking game for tricksters is going to appear, Jason.
Man, I wish there were betting odds on us where, you know, people could bet what the game was going to be. Trick-taking game for tricksters is just, it's always there.
It's always there, but it's always in my head as, I think, Peter's point in the meeting of, we should probably pick from a game that we've tested, because it's really easy to say, trick-taking game for tricksters sounds cool, has these neat features. Can't play it yet. Doesn't exist yet. Who knows? Find out next time.
Maybe.
Is there a next time? There'll be a next time.
You're panicking. Panic! Oh, no.
The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord. And arbitrarily choose, because ultimately that's what the decision is going to be. It's going to be an arbitrary decision based on whatever metrics we as a group use. Arbitrary and metrics are kind of different, aren't they?
I would think so.
Rewind that.